You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Week number 9's in the books. Tailgates of hell, NFC East podcast for the common man. See, I'm already slurring my words. And that's the result of the Redskins victory. Ben David, Jason Giaconia. Look around the league. There's not a whole lot to touch on, so I feel like let's just dive right into the NFC East. I segment these out. You know, Eagles, Giants, Cowboys. Maybe I'll just save the Giants for the stank rankings this week, because I'm sure you got a lot to say.
So
not much.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to say? I guess the big thing to me now is that the NFC East looks like it's starting to heat up a little bit, three teams at least. And, you know, the division's not totally out of shot for the Skins and the Cowboys. The playoffs certainly aren't out of shot for the Skins and the Cowboys, so...
Well, the Cowboys especially, they've kind of come out of nowhere. They have a huge win today. We'll get into that in a second. But let's start at the top with the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I don't know if we talk more about the Eagles or about the Denver quarterback situation, even though this is an AFC West podcast. But 51, one of two 50 burgers, and we'll get into the other one in a little bit. 51-23, the Broncos, I mean, the wheels have completely fallen off. And, I mean, the Eagles have just been great. So, I mean, we'll start with the great for the Eagles. Jay Ajayi, they trade for him this week. Eight carries, 77 yards and a touchdown. But really, the rushing game for the Eagles was just fantastic overall. They have three total touchdowns. Ajayi had 77 yards. Clement had 51. Blunt had 37. Smallwood had 20. I mean, what can you say? This team's awesome right now.
Yeah, they are killing it. I thought Denver may have given them a little bit of that Denver defense may have given them a little bit of issue. Not at all. The Eagles didn't miss a beat. I think the only thing you have to say about the Eagles at this point, what else can you say? I mean, they're clearly the best team in the league this, you know, through the first 8 weeks. If you're the Eagles, do you want to go on your bye this week? I mean, it's like sort of a momentum killer.
So hot right now. And they got the Cowboys on the other side. So I'm with you. I thought this was a game that that Broncos could give them a run. And, you know, if I was betting this game, which I did not, it would be, you know, I would have taken the 7 points. But, yeah, I mean, just there. I don't know where to look for a bad thing on the Eagles right now. We'll go into the good. Usually that's how we break it up. Carson Wentz, I mean, he only had 199 yards on the day. Nick Foles even got into the game, 101 for 35 yards, but four touchdowns for Carson Wentz. He spread the ball around. Clement had a touchdown. Alshon Jeffrey had two. Burton, who I don't even know who the hell that is, had a touchdown for the Eagles. And, I mean, they're spreading the ball all over the place.
I mean, they're the best team in the NFL right now. There's not much more you can say. They're clicking on all cylinders.
So, yeah. And defensively, they chip in with three sacks. There's nothing I have bad to say. So I guess for the bad, let's look to their opponent today. I mean, Brock Osweiler, who replaced Trevor Siemian. He's 19 of 38 for 208 yards, which doesn't sound that bad. He only had a touchdown, but two picks, 53.4 quarterback rating. And I don't know if I've ever seen a team that potentially could be a Super Bowl caliber team just bottom out because of their quarterback play.
I mean, it's pretty bad. And the funny thing is like Elway couldn't wait to sign Osweiler. You know what I mean?
Right.
He tried to get him 2 years ago, and it's just, how are they so wrong about that guy?
I know. And then you see like a team like San Francisco trading for Jimmy Garoppolo and making an upgrade at quarterback in the middle of the year. And I mean, it's just astounding that a team like Denver doesn't do that. But
well, it's a lost year for them now. I don't see any way they come back out of this one. I mean, they just got curve stomped by the Eagles, and they've not looked good in weeks anyway. So, you know, I think that's sort of the nail in the coffin for that Broncos team.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? It's not a lot of teams are going to beat the Eagles at this point, but that was an ass kicking.
Yeah. So the Eagles go to 8-1. Like we said, they go to the bye and then they play the Cowboys on the other side, which should be a huge game. Cowboys get the Falcons next week, but, yeah, I mean, I think we both picked the Eagles to finish last in the division. based on what happened last year. I mean, we were both impressed with Carson Wentz, but I don't know. This team looks like they could be going places, but it'll be interesting to see when they start to play some of the elite teams in the NFL. But there really aren't this year, so it's hard to say.
No. I mean, I would say the biggest issue they have right now is just keeping themselves hot with 14 days off.
Right, so. And healthy. I mean, you figure they win two more games, they're in the playoffs, and it's the first week in November. So the other early game, Los Angeles 51, New York Giants 17. Do you have anything you want to say about them now, or should I just hang on until the stank rankings?
I mean, what can you say? This is... It's 51 points. You got the defensive secondary basically in open rebellion against the coaching staff. You've got Eli looks like crap. I mean, it's whatever. He's got a bad O-line and he's got no receivers, but I mean, he had some shots today that he just completely overthrew. The defense can do nothing. Offense can do nothing. They make mistakes. So Ben McAdoo is dead. He's dead. He's got no shot at coming back now. He did sort of insinuate that he may bench Eli, which if he says he's going to bench Eli, he should be terminated on the spot. I mean, it is not for that guy to, in a desperate move, to bench Eli Manning for Davis Webb. To do what? Save a job he's not going to get anyways. So.
Right, and for some context, Eli has, you know, because part of it you may think rationally, oh, you want to give the guy, you know, the young guy some reps and a chance to go, but Eli has, and I don't know where he ranks, but one of the more impressive Ironman streaks in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. He's third. He's behind his brother and Brett Favre. He probably can't catch Favre. It'd be almost impossible, but he could catch Peyton, so it's just, you know, it's just a sign. There will be, I'm sure you'll see it this week, the reporters asked Ben McAdoo what he said to the team at halftime, and his response was, So, whatever. The team's dead. Ominous sign for Ben McAdoo. John Mara left the game early, which he never does.
Oh, my God.
So, I, you know, whether it's this week or the end of the season, it's over. It's going to be, they're going to blow up the team. And if they don't, they have to. You can't keep Ben McAdoo with his stupid haircut at this point. So Giants are dead. Hopefully they don't win another game. They play the 49ers. Big game for draft status. So I hope they lose by 50 again. And I hope McAdoo gets fired this week. And I hope, you know, Eli gets to start the rest of the year. So there you go.
All right, next up, we'll go with the Washington Redskins with a – I can't believe they won this game. They beat the Seahawks 17-14. Good, bad, great stank. Good was their defense. I mean, their defense kept them in the game the entire day, really right up until the end, which you knew they were going to give up the go-ahead score to the Seahawks on the last drive, and it's one of those things in the NFL. You almost score too quick, and what happened, but I think the defense was pretty good all day.
Yeah, I mean, I only caught bits and pieces of the game. Excuse me. I know I was just impressed by that defense at the very end of the game where they were, you know, the Seahawks had the ball. And when they needed to make a big play, their guys up front were able to do that. Ultra impressive that literally they have – some of those guys are like beer vendors, right?
Who were, right, yeah. They're just
playing an offensive line. I mean, it's incredible. It's an incredible game. I saw Josh Dotson's amazing catch, which nice of him to show up, you know, at some point.
About
but
time.
Might as well do it in the clutch. But, you know, the thing about the Redskins is they sort of got that, like, scrappy no-name thing going on where if this team could win a few more games – I could see them like getting on a run here,
right?
And you know they're not in the driver's seat for the playoffs, but if they can get close, I feel like that's gonna be one of those teams that like you don't want to play, and they're getting hot, and maybe they make a run. So
yeah, and especially if they can get healthy too, because right now I mean they're playing with just whoever they can throw onto the field. And if they can just keep themselves in the conversation, which today was a huge step in the right direction. So if they can win one of the next two against Minnesota, who I just don't think Minnesota is a very good team, and the Redskins are beat up, so we'll see. But between Minnesota and New Orleans, if they can steal one of those, the last half of their schedule gets a lot easier. So who the hell knows? You know,
Kirk Cousins knows he's not going to get that contract from San Francisco now, so now he's got to start doing auditioning for more teams and, you know, get some big wins. I mean, it was super impressive. I will say with the Seahawks, last week I said they were like the only team I thought could beat the Eagles. I think the Seahawks aren't really that good of a team. I mean, they're a good team. They're a good team in the NFC, but like they're not – I don't think they're at the level of the Eagles, I guess is what I'm saying. So not taking anything away from the Skins at all, because that's a hard place to play and win. But it's interesting because I think now, you know, the Seahawks, sure, Redskins and Cowboys really look like the four teams to me in the NFC East that could potentially give the Eagles at this point a run for their money.
Right. Elsewhere in the Skins, I mean, the offense was terrible today. You know, outside that last drive, I mean, they were pretty god-awful. And that's to be expected because they had literally nobody. I mean, after the game, during the press conference, Jay Gruden couldn't even name who his offensive line was. I mean, so he was trying to like, think of who the different people are. And, you know, there were stories coming about how last week, you know, guys were meeting in the locker room for the first time before they took the field. And, you know, it's just the offense was bad. The rushing game was bad. I mean, they had less than 50 yards rushing total. Kirk Cousins was a little bit all over the place. But, hey, when it counted, you know, they came up. And, I mean, it should tell you something about the offense. I think Vernon Davis is their best player right now, whose best days were 10 years ago. But, yeah, I mean – I don't know. What else do you say about the Skins? I give the coaching staff a ton of credit. That's a tough place to go in and play. I agree with you. I mean, the Seahawks are good. I think if they play their best game, they can be, you know, on the level or at least, you know, compete with the Eagles. But I don't know. Russell Wilson still isn't really fooling anybody. I mean, he's okay when he's able to run around and get outside the pocket, but he's not great. And I don't know. Huge win for the Skins. I've watched this team for a long time, and I don't think there's a team that or a game that I went into and I'm like, they have no effing shot of winning, and they went out and won quite like this one. And I saw a tweet when I was coming home that Jay Gruden's teams, when they've been 8-point underdogs, have won more games than when they were 8-point favorites. So.
That's funny. You know, it's the Redskins, and I just don't believe anything good will ever happen to that franchise as long as Dan Snyder owns it. But, you know, I sort of believe that this team could get on a little heater here and make some noise. So, good for them. Huge win.
We'll see. The last team in the NFC East, the Dallas effing Cowboys, 28-17. They beat the Chiefs. You know, Skins were playing at the same time. I didn't see a ton of this game, but I do know Ezekiel Elliott, after that circus and the circle keeps going and going and going. He was able to play this week. 27 carries, 93 yards, and a touchdown. So, as always, he was a huge part of this game.
I mean, is this going to go to the Supreme Court?
I mean, you'd think at this point, I feel like every time it's ruled one way, another way, another way, another way. And this is like the third or fourth go round of this.
I mean, you got to be nervous now as the Cowboys because, well, first of all, that was a pretty close game in the first half. And then the Cowboys just came out of the second half and punched the Chiefs in their face. Big win, pretty dominating win. And Elliott is just a monster. But you got to really be nervous now. Like, the Cowboys are in it, and they're not just in it, but they look like a team that can compete, and that they look like a totally different team than they were a month ago. I mean, it's incredible. I think they're starting to get in a little bit of a groove. But now you got this thing with Elliott. It's like, okay, if it gets upheld now, that's a big issue because you're right in the hunt now, and you have this thing looming over them. So I don't know. I mean, Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we both agree that at some point, this guy is going to serve six games. I don't think there's any way around it.
It's going to serve hard time.
The hard time. But if you're a – like, they should have just let him serve it at the beginning of the season. And I get there's a lot that goes into this. And I'm not even – I mean, if this wasn't Ezekiel Elliott, a guy who I hate and a guy who seems like such a jackass, I would probably have a lot stronger feelings on this. But based on the evidence and the fact – like, this seems like just the NFL being the NFL and just saying, hey, we gave you a hearing. And that's all it comes down to. The fact that he had a hearing, they found it one way, is all they have to do. But he's going to serve this at some point. So at this, like, you're getting far enough into the season where he's going to serve it when you need him most. And right. We still don't know what this team is capable without him. I mean, Prescott had an okay day, 21 to 33, two touchdowns, 249, didn't make any mistakes, which is what you always ask of him. But he's still not going out there and winning you games.
Right, right. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with that 100%. If Elliott goes down or he's out, you know, there's nothing on that team that tells me that Prescott can do it. And Dez Bryant, you know, tweaked his ankle today, left the game for a little bit. So, you know, what his status, and he's had bum ankles and feet for a while now, could be, you know, a big injury to them. They have Cole Beasley and Winton and all those guys, obviously. But if Dez is gone and then Elliott's got that suspension, that's a hard thing to overcome for that offense.
Right. And last but not least with the Cowboys, the schedule the rest of the way, they play the Eagles twice. They still got to play the Redskins. They play the Chargers. They play the Falcons, who, I mean, who knows how good the Falcons are. They play the Seahawks, which I guess you could say the same about, and the Raiders. So, I mean, it's not murderer's row, but that's not an easy schedule by any means. So it's going to be interesting to see. And if they don't have Elliott, I don't know what this team is going to look like without him.
Yep.
All right. Last but not least.
A swig for the common man.
Yeah, a swig for the common man. I'm in my victory beer. It's been a little bit. But all right, we're going to come back, and it's therapy session. If your team's no good, it's the stank rankings coming up on the Tailgate to Hell.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter at tailgatesofhell.
All right, back here on the Tailgate to Hell, it is the Stank Rankings. It is my favorite time of the week, even though the Redskins won. We'll start with number 28. You live in Tampa, Florida, so you should know this team pretty well. The 2-6 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jameis Winston tried to pump them up before the game, but they got hammered by the Saints.
I mean, did you see that pump-up speech?
I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen that it's something you need to watch.
It's a little weird. Let's put it that way. The Bucs suck. I mean, they're terrible. They thought they were close. And they're not even in the ballpark. So, you know, I almost wonder, they got rid of Lovie to keep Dirk Cutter with the players. Lovie, sort of the players coach and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if they just made a huge mistake and Cutter wasn't ready or what have you, but they stink. They're not close. And that's got to be a real shock to that organization because I think they thought they were there.
All right. Up next, number 29, the only team on the stink rankings with 3 wins. The Indianapolis Colts, they beat the Texans 20-14. I feel like since it's the stank rankings, we should just talk about Tom Savage for a couple minutes.
You know, I think the interesting thing about the Colts, though, is that Luck is done, as you predicted. You know, did the Colts get rid of Luck? I mean, he's I feel like he's perennially hurt now. They're going to have a shot at a young quarterback. You know, they're in the mix for the top 2 or 3 picks here, so... What a disaster in Indianapolis. What a disaster with Andrew Luck. It's mind-blowing to think that these guys were like projected Super Bowl, perennial Super Bowl people for the next 10 years, and now they're
on the stank rankings. And, you know, you just mentioned it, and we've talked about it, but you look at teams like the Buccaneers, the Colts, the Giants, the 49ers, and the Browns, who right now would be probably, I don't have the exact in front of me, but 5 of the top 5 picks in the draft, and what do you do at quarterback? Because you can make an argument that all 5 of those teams are set at quarterback, or even if not set, have a young guy in waiting, and it's going to be really interesting if this is how the chips fall, what the, like, if people are trading and stuff like that, because you can make an argument both ways for all the teams.
Yeah, you know, I think, because right now the order, if the season ended, would be San Fran picking first, Cleveland picking second. That's only because San Fran's played one more game and lost one more game. The Giants at three, and then Tampa Bay at two, and then Indianapolis will be right there rounding up the five today. So, you know, San Francisco, I think they're going to go with Garoppolo, right? I mean, that they can build a team around him now with a high draft pick, so they're probably not going to take a quarterback. Cleveland would take a quarterback. I don't think Tampa would take a quarterback. The Giants would take a quarterback because Eli's got, you know, he's at the end of his career, and what a perfect situation to take your next guy and have him sit behind Eli for a few years and develop him. So, but to your point, you know, there may be a huge haul of picks waiting for, like, the Giants. Could they say, man, if we can pick up five more picks or whatever, we can ride with Eli. We got Davis Webb, so anything could happen for sure.
Well, that's a good segue into number 30, the New York Football Giants. They are 1-7, and my God, they stink.
McAdoo will probably be the first coach fired, I would think. I don't know if he'll make it through this week. It just doesn't make sense. If it was me, I'd fire him.
Well, it's one thing if you're just losing games, but the fact that, like, the team is almost actively rebelling against him and that guy's just not showing up anymore, you know, even if it's more on the player than the like, that's not just one player. There's been multiple incidents of this, and he's just lost that team.
Oh, yeah, and Mac, he's getting killed by the New York beat writers because apparently in all his press conferences, he says, after they lose, well, we had a great week of practice. We won practice this week. And it's like,
how
tone deaf and idiotic can you? McAdoo's an idiot. He's on the way out. Jerry Reese on his way out. Whatever. It's going to be a teardown job in New York.
All right, number 31, they've started the season with 9 straight losses. The San Francisco 49ers, they lose to the Cardinals today, 20-10. C.J. Beathard started the game, no sign of Garoppolo. He was 24 of 51. That sucks. I mean, they're terrible.
I assume Garoppolo is going to play next week against the Giants. Maybe they sit him out one more week. I don't know. But
I mean, there was talk of him not playing at all.
And you this just, year?
I mean, some quote came out that I saw on Pro Football Talk. I mean, who the hell knows? It's just what
I doubt it. You're gonna let him play this year for sure. But, I mean, clearly Garoppolo is the guy for the future, not the now. They wanted to make a move to get him before he, you know, anyone else did. And they're going to build around him. So we'll see. We'll see if he gets in and he'll probably win a few games. But, man, 9 straight losses.
Not good.
Yikes.
Last but not least, at least they did not lose this week. Cleveland Browns 0-8. They stank. That's where they sit right there. They've been number 32 for a year and a half.
Oh, they may go 0-16, this team.
And
I don't know.
These reports about that A.J. McCarron trade just get better and better.
I mean, it's total enough to do, but it's not like the Browns can just say, okay, we're going to clean house. They clean house every year.
Right.
So it's like, what do you do?
Oh, we're getting younger, we're getting better, and it's like, okay, I really thought this would be like a 7-9, 8-8 team who was in it to the end this year, and they are absolutely terrible, and their front office is terrible, and they got baseball guys trying to do football trades, and
what a team, the factory of sadness.
All right, that's it. Tailgates of Hell, Stank Rankings continues to be the best part of the week. For Ben David, Jason Jaconia, we'll catch you next week here on the Tailgates of Hell.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter @tailgatesofhell.